In our naive or common sense view of the world, we relate to things and events as if they possess an enduring, intrinsic reality. We tend to believe that the world is composed of things and events, each of which has a discrete, independent reality of its own, and it is these things with discrete identities and independence that interact with one another. We believe that intrinsically real seeds produce intrinsically real crops at an intrinsically real time in an intrinsically real place. Each member in this causal nexus, the seed, time, place, and effect, we take to have solid ontological status. This view of the world as made of solid objects and inherent properties is reinforced further by our language of subjects and predicates, which is structured with substantive nouns and adjectives on the one hand and active verbs on the other. But everything is constituted by parts. A person is body and mind both. Furthermore, the very identity of things is contingent upon many factors, such as the names we give them, their functions, and the concepts we have about them. Although grounded in the interpretation of ancient scriptures which are attributed to the historical Buddha, this theory of emptiness was first systematically expounded by the great Buddhist philosopher Nagarjuna, the 2nd century Christian era. Little is known of his personal life, but he came from southern India and he was, after the Buddha himself, the single most important figure for the formulation of Buddhism in India. Historians credit him with the emergence of the Middle Way school of Mahayana Buddhism, which remains the predominant school among Tibetans to this day. His most influential work in philosophy is Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, which continues to be memorized, studied, and debated in the Tibetan monastic universities. I spend much time in detailed study of the issues raised in this text, debating it with my teachers and colleagues. In the 1960s, during the first decade of my life as an exile in India, I was able to delve deeply and very personally into the philosophy of emptiness. Unlike today, my life then was reasonably relaxed, with relatively few formal engagements. I had not yet begun traveling the world, a process that now takes up a substantial part of my time. During this precious decade, I had the fortune to spend many hours with my tutors, both of whom were experts in the philosophy and meditative practices of emptiness. I also had teachings from a humble but gifted Tibetan scholar by the name of Nima Gyaltsen. Affectionately known as Genyima, he was one of those rare individuals with a gift for articulating profound philosophical insights in terms that are most accessible. He was slightly bald and wore large, round, tinted spectacles. He had an involuntary twitch in his right eye, which led to frequent blinking. But his powers of concentration, especially when following a complex train of thought and delving ever deeper into a point, were astounding, indeed legendary. He could become totally oblivious to what was happening around him when he was in one of these states. The fact that the philosophy of emptiness was a particular specialty of Genyima made my hours of exchange with him all the more rewarding.